roll on deodorant on the table.
Definitely phones. Roll on deodorant, I think, adds a certain flavour.
Yeah.
Well, it implies that's what we're drinking. Well, it implies that that's
or it's like a sponsorship that we're going. Was it Mitchum?
Or Drupal Tech for real stinky.
For real stinky boys.
Really stinky. When if I see someone, a fellow boy with Mitchum, I'm like, God, oh, that is one stinky cunt right there. I very rarely whip out the Mitchums. That's only when it's like, this
when
is going to
be getting bad.
Well, no, that's more like, this is going to be a big day. Yeah. I need triple protect. I normally have Dove sensitive. Because it's just it's easier, it's fun, it's breezy. But
how
it's
much
a fair
difference is there applying Dove to Mitchum?
Quite a bit. So right. Dove is sensitive. It's just because Mitchum kind of burns,
right?
It doesn't
it's
feel
like
it's good.
It's like the Listerine of deodorant.
Yeah, it's and then Dove sensitive. That will be like there's a fair weather friend. Like they're there for good times.
Right.
They're there for just like an everyday use. If I'm leaving the house, I'll make sure.
But
I'll
they're
put
not
Dove.
They're not really committed to covering your stink like Mitchum is.
Mitchum's branding, even there, it's not
it's like industrial.
It's like, you know, those like caffeine shampoo, they also look like petrol. It's like a weird
they're
sort
here to
of
do a job.
It's like reverse psychology almost, where it's like
it's for real stinky fuckers, isn't it?
Triple protect, it really is. It's the stinkiest, it's the stinkiest in the biz,
because in you don't really want to be sponsored by any kind of deodorant, do you? But obviously, particularly Mitchum. But
I'd love Mitchum as a sponsor, you know?
No, I don't, because the
Triple Protect.
No, imagine that. Imagine us doing adverts for Mitchum.
Well, maybe they know what our fan base is like. Well, no, our fan base is not as stinky as others, to be fair.
Yeah, we won't. No, they're very clean people.
Well, just whenever I've had any live shows or the live pod,
they've not stunk.
The room has not hung heavy with sweat, and you laugh at that like that's being facetious, but it's not. I'm in many comedy rooms, and when you get a demographic together, there is some of them have a sizable stink.
Yeah,
I was at like a left wing podcast, which kind of attracts like left wing incels.
Right,
do you know what I mean? It's like a kind of
left wing incels.
It's like alt comedy communist podcast, right?
Right, yeah,
stank. Yeah. Just fucking reeked of BO. Oh, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not great.
Well, the left wing incel is not as much as covered as well.
Mm.
They seem to have got away with a lot because they're on the right side, but they're just as stinky.
I wouldn't ever think that an incel could be left wing.
It could be. I think we need to talk about it.
To be honest, I don't really know any incels. I keep saying incels.
You don't know any incels.
No,
I guess you don't. Well, but people from school probably became
incels.
No,
but an incel is really like, you know, it's a mental thing to be.
It's a way of life.
So for me, it's like mostly those guys that comment on like, I don't know, Dua Lipa's Instagram and like slut shame her.
Slut shame, yeah.
That's what an incel is for me.
My beautiful princess.
Yes, you are my love life. No, look at DM, there's penis for you.
That's gentleman.
Yeah, that's a man who knows how to court a woman in the modern era. But no, a proper, like, you don't know any proper incels, do you?
Yeah, well, proper incel implies that they're on the incel fan page. They're on the Reddit. They're on the Reddit.
They're commenting on Dua Lipa being like, you know, you're letting your father down.
But you wouldn't know those people unless you're related to them, because you'd only have run into them online. They don't really leave the house. There's people who are incel adjacent. There's people who
absolutely
kind of like...
But who are they? What's their key trait?
What, incel adjacent? Well, having an incel-y vibe is sort of being like...
So what is that, is the question?
It means... It kind of means...
Being a loser, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it sounds... It sounds like being a male loser who doesn't get any women.
Yeah, by definition.
No, but it's more... Well, that's not... No, incels blame women for it. They don't...
Yeah, so they have to have a hatred.
They have to have a hatred for women. Because then you could have... Of course I know of course I know losers.
Yeah, I think incel... A lot of stuff you do, you can't help with being incel-coded. You know, going...
Yeah. God.
Going with your boys.
I'm struggling to keep up with all
going
this
with your boys to see a blockbuster. I think that's incel coded.
Absolutely. 100%. I avoid going to the cinema with exclusively men.
It's incel coded. If you're going to the Joker with five other guys, it's incel
coded. The Joker, You've got to go with a woman.
My culture's not your costume, is how I'd feel if I was an incel.
Yeah.
You know? But they're also, they're a weird, because they're a terrorist group as well. They've got a radical wing.
What are they called?
Well, no, the people who shoot up schools, the people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, they don't... Well, the school shooters don't seem to... I think they've got a bit more going on than just, you know, incelhood.
Are you saying school shooters are better than incel? Are you saying that they've got more going for them?
Not... When I say more going... I don't mean that they've got more redeeming qualities. I said I think they've got a bit more going on than just like... I think some of them might be incel adjacent, sure.
But no, you know, I'd say that's full on. That's the end point of incel. These are the people on. They're on the spectrum.
If they're going and just shooting women, but that's not happening.
I haven't been for a while, but I used to go on the no because they're shooting chads as well. You need to get up with incel.
But shooting. No, but it's indiscriminate shooting. They're not going. I don't think many school shooters go in and they're like looking for specific people.
Have you spent much time on the chat rooms?
You're not allowed to pull this out.
Have you ever been on a chat
room?
Yeah,
I've been on a chat
room. Have you seen the pages?
Pages?
The incel form. So they're kind of hidden. I forgot where they are because they keep getting banned. But then if you go deep enough, you can find them all posting. And it's absolutely fascinating. So there's obviously the lingo. You've got...
I know you did this once. This is a couple of years ago, I think.
I do it every year or so.
Yeah. And so sure, you could be in a different world. I see you as an incel.
I think we all have the power within us to do it. I mean, incels don't wear triple protect deodorant.
That's true because they won't know of their own stink, they probably won't care about their own stink.
Exactly. That you know. That I think. Yeah. I think taking measures. But there was a picture of on the incel page when I was last there. There was a picture of a hugely built nerd. So he had nerd face, but he had a rocking bod, and then he had like a hot chick with him, and he said, "Keep going, guys.
Oh, you'll get there."
So he was like, "It was like a man who got out."
Yeah,
you know.
But you probably shouldn't say "keep going." You should be like, "Try get
don't
out.
Don't worry, guys.
Stop.
There's other options."
It should be you should be saying, "Stop going." But leave.
They hate chads as well. So they
guys
do...
who can get women.
Yes, that's and then Stacey's are like, well, dumb femoids.
Yeah. They
won't say woman either. It's femoids.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm not. And I don't want to repeat this. Yeah, I guess Stacey's are like, you know, stupid hoes who see a big chest and they're like, wow.
Yeah, they're obsessed with genetics.
Yeah.
You know, there was amazing stuff. There was like pictures of
it is a crazy old
there place. Was like pictures of people. They're obsessed with jawlines and chins, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like a picture of one of them. Posted a picture of their profile and they don't, they're like a chinless wonder. Fine, they do not have an impressive chin.
You've seen that guy on TikTok with no chin? It's pretty cool.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's astonishing.
They constantly ask him to like fold sheets.
Yeah. It's good. You wonder how far the content's going to go. To be honest,
you always wonder with these people.
I think they've reached their apex. Yeah.
That's what you see with people going on TikTok. It's like, where does this go?
Where was the natural endpoint?
Do you have another talent? Hidden under there that you're going to whip out.
Well, with the rise of the autistic kind of algorithm, they can kind of... Someone like Cal the Dragon can keep going for a while. I think...
Well, Cal has more strings to his bow.
He has many strings to his bow. My favourite being the series of him pretending to fall off his chair whilst doing speeches is excellent.
Exactly.
But these kind of genetic freaks in some ways, I guess we could call them, because they're going on. They're their own circus.
Yeah, because there's nothing, anything about up here. This is physical.
They often don't talk. I mean, this guy's just saying, look, I can't fold laundry with my chin.
It's sort of like Eighth Wonder of the World sort of stuff.
Yeah, try putting that in a screenplay.
Yeah, Victorian London, you'd find someone like this and bring them on the stage.
Yeah, yeah. It's like really the hairy ladies and the elephant man and the strong man.
But on the incel thing with the chins, they had a picture of them with no chin, right? And they'll be like, they'll draw like a fake chin and saying, if it was like an inch more and I wouldn't want to kill myself. So they really believe that a lot of the power comes from the chin. And it's all aimed at how vain and vapid women are because they're so caught up with just the, and they like, we lost the genetic lottery.
Yeah, so what are you going to do?
What I've always found fascinating is it's so weird that there's not a true flip side for women when men are so much more interested in physical attraction than
found the internet rather than maybe a woman who they could love.
Well, there's femcells. I think that's another thing that doesn't get talked about enough. I mean, they just don't have they don't have a military arm. They're not shooting up schools.
Yeah.
So I think they don't get as much, but there's definitely a femcell, you know, people I would say are part of that movement as well.
People who are people.
Femcells. You can spot them. You know.
Yeah. Oh, well,
it's just a hatred
for attractive people.
Yeah, I guess so, but it's just the inverse. It'll be like a woman who can't get men, so then hates all men. You know, it is.
Yeah.
It just they just don't turn to violence
as quickly.
A lot of
people, it's to do with their personalities, though, isn't it?
Well, that's the problem.
Because there's so much of attractiveness is about the choices you make rather than the pure genetics. Obviously, there's like a ladder that you can, if you're better looking from birth, you know, that's going to help you a lot. But some of it just make better choices.
Yes, but it's quite fascinating. What the incel debate has really brought up, which is quite fascinating, is that you can lose the lottery of life personality-wise. That's what's quite fascinating.
That's interesting.
You know, being dealt a tough hand, you understand that physically. It's like, oh, he was dealt a tough hand and you feel bad for him. But if you're dealt a tough hand personality, that's just a tough one. I mean, a lot of people, in comedy you meet people, I'm like, God, you're dealt a tough hand. Your personality sucks, man.
This is
unfortunate, good sir, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't have space to talk about those people, because there's a lot of room to be talking about ugly people, but people who just suck.
You can't collectivize that
movement.
It's weird that they kind of acknowledge that they suck, because you think if you can acknowledge that you suck, then you can change. You know, personality is, there's some elements of change, but there's things like, you know, emotional responses and temperament that are involuntary. It's don't have any choice. Upbringing, all of these things.
It's a truly unique and radical movement, the inceldom, because it's maybe the first in history that's predicated on like a negative trait about themselves.
Yeah.
Like their identity is based on their how shit
they
their personality
are, whilst blaming entirely different people.
Yeah. But yeah. I don't think that's, I don't think there's ever been a movement that's like,
no, we're shit, don't look at us. Whilst also fuck you.
Yeah. It's based on the idea, like, we're sad little virgins is the binding thing of that community.
Yeah. Well, God, good luck to them. Good luck to them.
Yeah. Good luck to incels, and if you listen, We love your patronage.
Yeah.
Last week, Andrew debuted on the big stage. We did Paddy's Night with the Stars, which was a fun night. Did you have a good time?
It was a fun night, yeah. It was less, because we expected a certain level of chaos, allowing us to slipstream into that chaos essentially unnoticed.
Yeah.
But there were points where we were sat at the back, stood at the back of the room, and then it was not as much chaos.
No.
We had a lady who is an incredible act.
Frankie Tomlinson.
There she is. Doing like this 10-minute, perfectly lip-synced piece of art with dancing, and there was like apprentice clips, etc. And then I just remember looking and going, this is the opposite of what we've got. We have got absolutely... I think we finished writing it 2 hours before we went on.
Yeah. So Paddy got given a night at Moth Club, the famed Moth Club, but he didn't want everyone, all his friends, just to do stand up. So he got all of us to like write little new things that are all based around award shows. So like Mike went on, Mike Rice went on as Bono, and like we were all playing around doing stuff. But then we thought this was a perfect opportunity to do our first live double act
kind
thing.
Kind of a sketchy thing.
Yes.
Well, it was half a sketch, but it wasn't really a sketch.
It was a lot of podcast bits actually worked into it.
It was, because the evening, it was an award themed evening.
Yeah.
So we went on and we thought we could do some of our acting bits.
Yes.
Because like, as in the Bradley Walsh, no, not Bradley Walsh, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, that was a Freudian slip. Yeah. I mean, Walsh.
Bradley Cooper, Leo, who else was it? Sean Penn and Terry Crews.
Terry Crews.
So just, the idea was to go on and do a presentation about how to become a successful male actor, using the lessons that we've learned from these guys.
Yeah. And, and I've strayed away from any sort of PowerPoint or tech or anything like that. Like, a big choice in my stand-up is that I'll never, ever have to rely. You're all right. You seem to be like evolving in front of me.
I'm just ill.
Okay. It feels like you're going to transform into David Tennant.
David Tennant?
Like Doctor Who.
Oh, right. No, no, not David Tennant. I've just got muscular...
Dystrophy?
No.
No.
I've got muscular pains because I'm ill. Okay. I think Paddy gave it to me.
Really?
From this night. Well, remember, he was ill.
Well, yeah, so was Flood.
They were all ill. And then I spent,
Lurgy.
Got the Lurgy. To be fair, it's not that bad, but it's just, you know, that's what's happening.
Yes. And so leading up to it, I was very annoyed to have to, I now know why I don't do any of this stuff, because it's so stressful having to try and rely on tech in any of these shows.
Yeah.
But yeah, we thought it would be like a really slapdash show, and everyone was so delayed on it.
Yeah.
I thought everyone would be fucking it. And we would just slip right in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even in rehearsals, it looked like, okay, this is going
to
be...
Yeah, we looked like the most prepared in rehearsals.
This is going to be a bit of a clusterfuck, but that's fine. And then he put us on last, which I still think is a crazy decision.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was an absolutely incredible night. It was
going
everyone
perfectly.
Everyone was crushing it. And yeah, I think you rightfully so were feeling each time it was like more and more like,
I was
this
like,
is
what are we doing? This is ridiculous. This is like, just there was like, no, yeah, there was, yeah, the preparedness seems, yeah, to be, we were the least prepared, and yeah, we were going on a headlining.
We were going
the
on
head.
Yeah.
But I was, the difference between rehearsal and, yeah, the show, I was like, what's just happened?
Yeah.
How have you all suddenly realized what you're doing? Like 2 seconds before you've gone on, and then ours got more confusing. Yeah. Because we went on and then the clicker broke.
Yes.
Which was, for when you're doing a presentation, so the thing that what actually happened, yeah, is it went down fine and the audience
everyone was so nice afterwards.
Yeah. And I was like, you're lying, right?
Surely. I mean, people have convinced me that it went well. And people seem to really like the fact that they were even asking if the clicker break was part of the
app.
I'm like, what?
No.
You know, an agent came up and suggested that we make an Edinburgh show about a failed clicker, as if this like, as if like the failed clicker was absolutely genius.
It's so like Moth Club, isn't it? Just to be like,
that was brilliant.
That was amazing. Like, no, it wasn't. It was bad. Have a look back. Think about it. Yeah. Like, there's a film.
Everyone was quite drunk, but it was probably the most generous audience I've ever played.
Yeah,
to.
Yeah,
like,
They were
kind as fuck.
You know? I think because there was a loosey-goosey feel, which helped us. But yeah, it was because it was our fault because we got stuck between being too slick and being loosey-goosey. We weren't because we could have had bam, joke, and have a really tight, the script was good, but we were reading it live. We didn't know our lines in the slightest because we were changing them up until the last minute.
Well, we kept watching people's performing and we're like, well, we're going to have to cut some stuff because this is not.
Well, I think we actually maybe didn't even need to. We should have gone into the chaos.
Well, it seemed like they just take anything.
The jokes were going fine. The amount of lines you took of mine.
Yeah.
And then skipped, to be fair, it was a quarter of a page. Yeah. And I'm there going, well, that's not there. On the remarkable, nonetheless, having to flip through.
I realised midway through that it was going to be if someone doesn't get the line, you got to grab it.
There were some that were, you did it by a complete accident.
Okay, I didn't even realise.
Yeah, no, the 100%. I was really thinking on my feet. It was the, because there wasn't, I don't think there was one rehearsal we had where you didn't take one of my lines.
That's true.
So it was, and then we were jumping about. But yeah, the clicker didn't work, which I think, as I say, we got caught between a free-flowing whatever and a rigid script thing.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't too bad. Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, I would have preferred it to be a bit more prepared.
Yeah.
Because it was nice. The audience were nice. That's the end of it, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, it could have gone so much better.
It could have gone so much worse.
It should have gone so much worse in terms of the audience reaction.
Yeah.
But in terms of us standing there with a script, it couldn't have actually gone that much worse.
Yeah.
If you think about it. I mean, like, with the performance is fine, but the clicker broke. We're skipping quarters of pages.
Yeah.
I was trying to keep up. We're reading off a script anyway while still getting that script wrong.
Yeah.
But then I think all of those, because when you get, you know, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Too many cooks spoil the broth in a good way.
Well, I guess we've all learned something.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was fun. It was also fun going out drinking afterwards. And I guess you've kind of probably for the first time seen like the way that kind of comedy nights work, where you have all the people who control the industry just being absolutely insanely drunk while the acts are pretty sober because they're jumped up on adrenaline.
You don't drink. You might have like a beer before or something. I think I had a Guinness and a half before, but then I think I had two after, and the adrenaline just stays there. So it's like you're not nowhere near drunk.
You got TV commissioners, agents just
been
like
drinking since five. Yeah, telling us to do a whole Edinburgh show about a malfunction. Yeah, no, it was fun. It was good. It's a good level of kind of chaos.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, yeah, it'll be fun to explore to do that kind of stuff in a different way.
Yeah,
for sure. With more preparation would be nice, I think, and doing a bit of, like, if we're going to do a script, learn it.
Yeah, that might be.
I think it's a fairly good idea.
But I also wasn't going to learn 8 minutes of stuff for that. You know?
I don't think it would have actually been that. A lot of it was presentation, but yes, we'll see.
What, do you want to do your query or your gripe, maybe?
Yeah, I'll do my query briefly. Yeah. What the fuck is gammon? Do you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? Why are there...
As a term?
Yeah, and it's... No, as a thing, as a meat. What is gammon? Why... I think it goes into a gripe, because I'm like, why are there so many different cuts of a pig? With beef, you pretty much know where you stand, don't you? You've got steak on various varieties, and then okay. You can mince beef, right?
You can mince pork.
With a pig, you've got bacon.
Yeah.
You've got pork, uh-huh, chops and stuff. You've got... What the fuck is gammon? What the fuck is it?
I don't know if I agree with this gripe.
Well, it's actually... It's a query.
So this is the query.
The gripe is a different thing.
Fine. In my head, it's still like... with a cow, you have like sirloin, you have rump, right?
Yeah.
You have loads of different cuts.
Yeah.
Gammon is just like the... That gammon feels like that's what most of the pig is, right?
Yeah, but why is it so different?
Because you've got pork, yeah. Well, what?
It's so bacon, what's so different? Bacon to pork chop to gammon. Those three are fucking different things.
Is gammon that different to bacon, if you think about it?
It's a hell of a lot thicker.
That's a thicker cut, right? If you cut that really thin and fried it up, that's like, not different to bacon.
There'll be something similar. Because I think, to be honest, this is a query, and you've got one more chance to answer what the fuck is gammon before we go into the internet.
I would say gammon, so it's not pork belly. Gammon would be...
Yeah, because it's pork belly. I mean, that makes sense, because it's the belly. So you've got a bit of meat and a bit of fat. You slice that up, that makes sense. Gammon? There's something weird going on with gammon.
No, because bacon is cured.
Yeah, well, that's what it's going to be in the process.
Bacon is cured gammon.
Bacon is cured gammon.
Pig. That isn't,
and then
there's
ham.
That's gammon as well.
Yeah, I think gammon and ham are the closest in the family.
Gammon is a cut of ham. Gammon is in the ham family. Yeah.
Where's bacon?
Gammon is, when I think gammon, it's about partly how you serve it as well, because gammon normally would be served as a thick cut and it's hot.
Yeah.
As opposed to a slice of ham.
It would be in the
ham.
Process. Well, because ham is cured, isn't it?
Sometimes.
But is bacon just raw? Because it's got like, they've got different qualities to them. Bacon seems to be raw, but then where's that coming from? Why is there so much of these things on a pig? And why, in the process, why don't we have like cured beef shit? I know we have like beef you can put in a sandwich, but it doesn't seem as... I think there's too many things
fatty.
From an...
So...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... Did you find out what gammon is?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to define gammon by itself, you know what I mean? You've kind of got to compare it to something. A lot of things are coming up, gammon and ham, what's the difference? So I guess that will do. The answer is not much. That's bollocks, you see. They're already lying to us.
I don't know, I kind of agree.
Both of these delicious are versatile cuts. I don't... Also, gammon, nah. I'd never want it on my plate.
No?
Well, there's...
I tell you when gammon's good. Gammon's not the best meat for sure, but when gammon's good is with a fried egg and chips.
I don't like eggs.
Still?
Yeah.
Still haven't come around to it.
No, never will, I don't think, at this point.
Yeah.
I try it every year, nothing. Yeah, gammon is a meat that has been cured by being salted, brined, or smoked, either of the three, and sold raw, whereas ham, you got to cook gammon. You don't have to cook ham. Ham's already cooked, dry cured or cooked.
It's a cooked ham.
Yeah, but it's been salted, brined, or smoked. I think it's the saltiness that I think is fucking disgraceful. Anyway, I don't like it. Because you can get gammon joints as well. I think there's too many cuts of pig.
For me means hefty ham.
For me it does. Yeah. But I'm just surprised, as I think we've forgotten how much comes from a pig.
Yeah.
I think it's almost that something's going on. We need to query something.
Yeah. We've got some more about Bradley Cooper this week as well. Cooper, can't seem to stay out the headlines, to be honest. It seems like he wasn't the most insane actor, to be honest. He barely ever touched the headlines in this way, but now has just been doubling down.
When he was doing Limitless and The Hangover.
That seemed to be, he kept his nose clean, but now he's entering into his auteur period.
Yeah.
This is where he's truly turbocharging him.
He's lost it.
You know?
Yeah.
So the recent thing, and I might have seen something else, I forgot what it was.
I thought I did as well.
But we've obviously discussed Nosegate, discussed Elephant Man Gate, we've discussed crying in front of Bernstein's Children Gate.
Yeah.
And there's a new gate, which is Naked Gate. All right. Now, you probably read this more recently. What happened?
Is that he feels Bradley Cooper feels comfortable walking around his house naked because he used to shower with his dad?
Where are you getting these interviews from? That's what I always wonder with these actors. It's like, what is this on a red carpet? Is he bringing this up?
He's doing them all on podcasts.
So he's doing podcast appearance.
Yeah, that's where these are all coming from.
Okay.
Yeah, or like
a peek under the hood.
If you said that on a red carpet interview, that's that's a red card for your career, because those are not long enough to be coming out with stories like that. They're like three questions each interview, and they're all asking the same question. So to squeeze that in, that's like you're going into that red carpet prepared to say that. It's like it will be a disappointment if you don't say that you're comfortable walking around your house naked because you shower with your dad. That would be a disappointment.
Was there any context to it?
I'd hope so. I didn't dive in. I'm not like going to listen to the actual podcast that he was on. But it seemed, well, I'm sure they were, you know, this would just be pure speculation, but that he enjoys, you know, that he's happy walking around his house. I don't know. I think if I showered with my dad, I'd feel less comfortable walking around my house naked.
Yeah, me too. Have you ever showered with your dad?
I'm sure I had when I was younger.
You'll never
I can't remember it.
You never forget your dad's penis, though. That's something that will never leave you. That's I think that's like a key moment in any young boy's life.
Seeing the penis.
You can't imagine that a penis could ever look like that at that age. And it's the first kind of real pop of innocence disappearing. You know?
Yeah, when you look at his and you look at yours.
and then you realise that it's so storied, your father's penis. It's been true.
It's like an old oak tree.
Wise.
Yeah. Every ring around it is a
PTSD war vet, you know?
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Yeah, on his dying legs. Kind of a shriveled old thousand-yard stare. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, this intimidating, I suppose, but it's a real like, I wonder if that will ever be me as well. But then you're also like, well, I guess it will be, because
one day you'll have your dad's penis, and that's what's...
Well, that's not necessarily true.
What, are you standing by that you won't have your dad's penis?
I think it's already, like, you know, pretty similar, because I'm looking at this, what this would have been, how old am I now? You know, this is 17 years ago.
So how old would he have been?
He would have been, what, 40-something? 40...
Okay.
I don't like, look, I'm so sure it's
about,
there's...
It's about, you're about 20 years off your... That,
there's
that
a reasonable
age.
Penis change between 20 and 40, but not that much. If we're talking 40 to 60, again, I don't think crazy. I don't think there's going to be that much penis change. How much do penises change?
They do a lot. If you look at... I think
if you look at what?
I think there's a...
I'm fascinated to see what
I think there's a rapid decline starts happening when you cross like 50 and 60, I think. You know...
What, in what way?
Well, I already feel like my...
They're already kind of shriveled, you know.
They're already old.
They're like...
They're already aging.
Yeah, they've gone off dates.
They're already aging.
Or like gherkins outside of the liquid they should be maintained in.
They age a lot faster than you.
Mole Man from The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. And I just
age a lot faster than you. I'm just
wondering. I feel like they're older than us anyway, but I do...
The thing is, you very rarely see a very... like an old man's penis.
That's true. Maybe it isn't...
I think one of the things that would be least affected by the aging process would be the penis, because it feels like the penis has already done its aging by the time we're born.
Yeah.
It's or at least by the time you hit puberty. Puberty seems to be like, you know, everything starts to sag and hang. That seems to be when it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I just feel like there's a rapid drop off where it's like no one will ever see this penis again.
Right.
I think there's a reason why you don't see those penises. And I think if you did, you'd be surprised. You wouldn't be able to believe what they look like.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to believe it.
Yeah.
I'd be able to... So an old man will show me his penis and I'll go, that is not a penis.
You know...
I don't believe you.
You know, in Harry Potter when...
wonder where this is going.
You know, when they see like the Voldemort...
Yes. Shriveled up as a baby. Yeah.
That kind of
looks like a penis anyway. That's kind of my point, is that a penis looks pre-aged. It's like gammon. It's pre-cured. It's salt brine.
It's true. Well, it's another mystery of life. I haven't seen a man's penis over 60, so I don't know why I'm
Have you not
I'm
seen it in porn anywhere?
I don't think
because
so.
Because that's why, you know, everywhere we see a
cock. Have you seen
cock,
any grandparent, any porn with like an old fella coming in?
I'm sure I have at some point.
They've popped into your, you've found your perfect porn, you're enjoying yourself, and then three old guys
old
come.
Wearing their socks still. No, I can't. When I used to watch, I don't know, I would see.
I couldn't possibly know, for I have stopped watching pornography.
no, I haven't. I don't think I ever came across an old man. But I'm sure.
Back in your porn days.
Back in my porn days.
Back in your porn era.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I did. Surely not. Definitely not one over, 70.
No.
So it's weird because you would, we know what penises generally look like. A lot of it because of porn. The most penises I've ever seen in my life is because of porn. And it'd be weird if that anyone else, if that's a different answer, that's strange.
Well, I guess you don't, you don't have the swimming dressing room culture where you get to see another man's cock. So that would be a great penis watching place.
I think given, you could see an old man's penis at a swimming pool. I grew up with a phone. It would still be weird if anyone my age has seen more penises, straight people, I guess, straight guys have seen more penises out and about than they have on the screen. That's odd. That's definitely odd.
Yeah, but we're talking about old penises. And I feel
old penises,
dancing around the fact that you've seen them and you don't want to talk about it.
I've done a very bad job of dancing around it.
You obviously must have seen them. So you seem to be an expert in old people's penises.
How have I seemed like an expert? I've seemed confused by them.
Well, you said that you must have come across an old man's penis via porn.
Yeah, must. I mean,
But you can't remember them.
Yeah, who would remember? It's a lot of years I've been sexually active.
I guess so.
Do you remember if I, I'm sure, do you not think the chances are you've come across an older man's penis in pornography? You don't.
Surely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was it like? You can't remember.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Of course.
I guess so. But speaking of swimming pools, I saw an article today about bullying in swimming pool culture, and I was interested to ask if you'd noticed anything, because you're big into your swimming. You go
if
quite
anything,
regular.
I'm the fucking bully.
Really?
And I have no qualms of that.
Say.
And I have no qualms of that whatsoever. Yeah, this article just came out for anyone that's not clued
toxic
in.
Culture of fear in swimming systematic. So that probably means it applies to Mile End Leisure Centre.
Yeah, Mile End Leisure Centre Swimming Club.
A toxic environment at swimming clubs in England has enabled abusive training practices.
Imbusive?
Abusive.
All right. Sorry, I thought it was just a word I didn't know.
And bullying to exist for years. Does this ring true with your experience of the Mile End Leisure Centre?
I have got far more vocal.
Yeah.
The now I feel, I've been going swimming for like 8 months now. I'm part of the furniture there.
Yeah.
When I get, it happened the other day. These bobbers, these mentally unwell people.
Sure.
Who aren't mentally unwell.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I feel so angry at them, because it's like, you have all your faculties about you.
You choose
choose to be a maniac.
Yeah.
Because there was, again, there was, as everyone knows, there's a paced thing. You have different lanes, slow, medium, and a couple of fasts. And then me and this one guy were sharing a fast lane each.
Yeah.
And this man gets in. He looked fit. I was like, fair enough. I'm sure he's got it. He just, he couldn't swim. He was doggy paddling. He was doggy paddling and he just went. So
is he doing it for exercise or is he doing it to learn to swim?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't, it'll be a ballsy way to learn to swim. But yeah. Walks straight. And I think it's again, the confidence that some fucking men have.
Yeah.
Where they look and it's like, imagine being the man who can't swim that walks into the swimming pool with two people in the fast lane and go,
yeah,
that's where I need to be.
Yeah.
And he promised, he went between our lanes, just circling, just trying to like move out of our way. He didn't do full lengths. There was like, and there's a slow and a medium right there.
And they chose to do the
and
fast.
And he chose to do the fast. So I shouted at him.
Did you?
Yeah. I said, what are you doing? I went, go in a different lane. I stopped because you bump into these people.
What did he say to that?
And he went, yeah, fair enough, eventually. Because I was like, what? This makes no sense. You need to move to the next
one. So have you told people off before in this report?
Yes.
Do you tell them off quite regularly now?
Yes.
So this is a toxic environment. Extreme competitiveness led to an ongoing and systematic culture of fear at all levels of aquatic sports.
If I'm honest, at the Mile End Leisure Centre, there isn't enough of a culture of fear.
Athletes, volunteers and parents feared being victimised if they raised concerns with Swim England. So
you've lost it a bit there. You said it like it made sense.
No, because they could raise concerns about how they're being bullied.
Swim England are the bullies. So I'd have to be part of Swim England to be the bully.
No, because they just don't. They feel Swim England just wouldn't have their back, I think.
Right.
While whistleblowers were threatened. The governing body has apologised The review also found that there were urgent need to tackle racism within swimming, with many from ethnically diverse communities feeling like they did not belong in what was viewed as a white middle class sport. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, were most of the bobbers Bangladeshi?
I have never, I have never mentioned.
You have said their race.
I cannot recall to that. That is not something I remember.
You're being racist in the pool.
No, I am being the opposite of a racist in a pool. It doesn't matter what skin colour you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what gender. If you come in the fast lane and you start bobbing about, then you're gonna get a mouthful. You're gonna get a mouthful. Look, look. I in my honest opinion, there isn't enough bullying in swimming.
Okay. Yeah.
I think there needs to be far more because people do not seem to understand the concept of lanes.
Yeah.
And the concept of understanding your own ability and just like loosely matching it. The bobbers need to stop, and I will continue to bully until the bobbers never come back in the pool. They can go back in the pool if they're on the fucking slow lane. Stay in the slow lane. Get out of my way because it's obvious that you shouldn't be there.
Para swimmers and swimmers with special needs, which are potentially these people.
Look, I have encountered one bobber who did have special needs.
Swimmers
and I
with special needs said they often felt overlooked and less valued, with one competition winner saying they were given a spare medal. With one competition winner saying they were given a spare medal from an old contest instead of a shiny new one. It's a quote. That bit's quoted, like other athletes. So do you not think that maybe some of the special needs swimmers in your pool potentially are in the fast lane because they feel like they're not being valued? And maybe...
Well, then what's the point of the fast lane?
Well, I'm just saying that maybe they want
to... I might be being controversial here.
Well, I think you seem to be... It seems to be very hierarchical.
I believe in a pretty strong division of ability in the swimming pool. I don't think anyone needs to be valued or should be valued by the lane of which they're in.
Yeah.
We are all valuable because we're in there giving it our best shot.
Sure.
That's great. But in order for us to coexist in harmony in the pool, there needs to be a certain understanding of our own individual ability and speed. Yeah. Without that, the pool goes into mayhem and swimming stops in England.
So,
I have come across
you should make a special needs lane, is what you're saying. And highlight it and saying...
Yeah. Make them all wear high-vis caps. Look, some of the bobbers have been special needs. Yes, that's true. I'm not denying that. Of course they have. And that's okay. That's fine. And I do not shout at them.
A toxic culture, I think it's become clear.
And I think it should be more toxic.
Yeah.
I think it should be more toxic.
Well, Swim England, we wait to hear your response. Should we talk about... Let's talk about June part two. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you see June on Sunday?
Part two?
Yeah.
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 I did. Did you as well?
I went last minute. BB refused to come with me. So, I went with my sister and her boyfriend in the end. Because BB found the first one so boring and was going to come with me if I was going on my own to accompany me.
Right. But if you didn't, she didn't need to.
Yeah. Soon as she found out someone else was coming, she was like, I'm staying.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so aggressively not interested in June, which I thought, you know.
Got to know your strengths, you know. BB knows she's in a different kind of lane.
Exactly.
I'm not saying whether it's fast or slow, but at least she knows where she's going.
What do you think?
Really good. It was a different kind of experience for me because I read the book. So I'd watched the first one without having read the book. Then I read the book and then I watched the second one. So
you knew what was going to happen.
I knew what was going to happen. It's almost impossible not to compare it. It's one of my favorite books I've ever read.
Sure.
So it's hard not to compare it in that way. So what I really liked about the first one was like the amount of questions that were left. It was very mysterious and it was very stylistic.
Is that partly because you didn't know what was going on because you hadn't read the book?
Exactly.
Do you think that's where a lot of the mystery came from?
Yeah, not knowing what was going on. And it was also, well, the first time I didn't like the first episode. I didn't like the first film because when I went to the cinema, because I missed the title cards that explained the world at the beginning.
So okay, thought it was Planet Earth?
Yeah, I thought it was David Attenborough. I came in as those title cards came down and I was like, I haven't got the foggiest what's going on.
Yeah.
And it never really got back. And then I watched it again and I was like, oh, now it's great.
And just that first title card, that was, I guess
For the first year, I think there's a few.
Okay, yeah.
That it sets up the world because it doesn't show you much.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. That's
true. Of course it does. It's a fucking weird world. And then it's a weird, and then, so the first one was a lot more like, I think overall as a film, I prefer the first one.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was more stylish and kind of, this one it went into, It was more classic. They went, there was a lot more, the dialogue did a lot more work, the script did a lot more work. It was a lot more, you've got stuff to grab hold of, which is great.
Yeah.
For a second part, I think the trilogy is going to be like one of the best ever.
Yeah.
Because you want the, I think everyone was like, these tickled our excitement with the first one.
Mm.
And you wonder what the fuck is going on. And then second, it's they didn't make it as weird, basically. Which I think, because you need people to grab hold of for some narrative.
Yeah.
So it was great. It was, for me, like the viewing experience was a lot, just not as good as the first one. Just because of the lack of surprises and it was less stylish. Still had the same same great kind of cinematography and everything and the sounds. I thought the sounds weren't as good, actually. The sounds of the first one were fucking almost revolutionary.
Where did you watch it?
In an average cinema, to be fair. It was one in Bethnal Green. I didn't love it. There was something.
Was it the Genesis?
The Genesis is my end. No, Bethnal Green.
Yeah, I love the first one, but I completely understand anyone who didn't like the first one because it was, and it's the same with Denis Villeneuve's films. I do love him, but I can understand if you find it boring, and it's not even me saying that you don't get it. I'm like, yeah, there's some choices. I even rewatched Blade Runner 2049 recently.
That's the most boring of his films.
The opening 20 minutes is crazy.
He opens
that film with like. It's like such a boring opening sequence.
It is.
And it's like, I just think with these films, as just a rule of thumb, I don't care how creative you are, just open with a set, just open with a banger.
Well, he did open with a set piece. It just took him 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like a weird and really slow, and it's like, you got a lot of a world that you could, and Blade Runner, you can open in such crazy ways with Blade Runner, and we're sat on this random, like, farm in, like, a shit kitchen with Dame Baptista, what's his name?
Yeah, Dave Baptista.
But yeah,
oh, yeah,
I thought the first one was good. It felt very much like the first one was a real vibe.
Yeah, it was,
and it was like, yeah, it was light on exposition on a really complicated story that's really hard to understand.
Yeah.
And it was just being art housey with like a really like this is covering a galactic universe and it's giving you very little.
Yeah.
But I preferred the second one by quite a lot, and I felt like the second one was, the first one was great. For setting up the second one, I think it was all like
it just
laid the stakes perfectly for the second one.
Well, and the third,
I absolutely loved it. I thought the big thing that I found weird, I thought it was absolutely incredible. It will be looked upon as one of the as a masterpiece. I do think. I do think it was weird to cast Christopher Walken as the Emperor.
Yeah, right? I agree.
You know, and I think to have a franchise like this and cast only stars is an interesting choice as well.
Yeah.
They're not really breaking anyone who isn't already sort of a star.
No one.
You know, and mostly, like Star Wars, they basically debuted all of their stars pretty much. You know.
But they've got like pretty much everyone in that young crop of talent.
Yes.
So it's almost like making them into, you know, huge, huge, huge.
But what they've done because of that is it does mean that the performances are great. And with Star Wars, the performances aren't all great. And I think when they debut stars, it is.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind that. But the downside of having loads of stars is that I often can't, when you're trying to build a world, it's like, I kept seeing, it's just Josh Brolin. It's fucking, just know, they're all such celebrities that it sometimes would take me out. But overall,
because there's so many characters, it's hard to get lost in one of them doing like one amazing performance.
Yeah.
There's so many different famous people coming in. You can't ever get lost in just one. I guess it's mostly Tim, but...
Leah Sado, like you're so used to these people,
Anna Taylor Joy's in the next one,
I knew every single actor that was but Christopher Walken as the Emperor,
so it feels like an unnecessary move.
And so you've read the book, so the Emperor, and this is a lot of the cliches of Dune is interesting because it's very much like Star Wars, but that's because Star Wars is basically copying Dune. And it was a lot of the structure of the narrative. You're thinking, oh, I've seen this before, but then you realise he was kind of the first to do all these things that are completely ubiquitous now.
Mm.
But in these kind of films, you have you often have a baddie, and then they blow up, and you go, there's actually a bigger baddie. And there's like and I always find it interesting with how they represent like hierarchies of power in like a made up world. So you got fucking Slugman, right?
Yeah, the Baron.
he's not even the big daddy, right? So there's the Emperor who is very much like in Star Wars, it'd be Emperor Palpatine. There's like
kind of.
If the slug guy's sort of like Darth
Vader. But he's not really.
But then...
Because the Emperor, bearing in mind how it ends, I'd probably leave the spoilers. It's too
early. We don't need to spoil it.
No, but that's the kind of the point, is that he isn't really... The big baddie throughout the first Dune is the Harkonnens.
Yeah.
They're the bad guys. But the Emperor is a lot more... He isn't meant to be the biggest bad guy. He's more of a confusing...
He's a confusing character.
But he kind of is in the book because that's where the second one's going to go.
Yeah,
fine. Because bearing in mind how it ends,
he's
not the biggest bad person in the world, you know what I mean? He's obviously done bad things and he tried to slant them. Well, that's just in the first one. He tried to fuck him up. But like, the bad guys are the Harkonnens.
Yeah, so... Narratively, it's quite confusing how it's like they've made them move planets on orders of the Emperor, but then he knows it's a trap, but then does it anyway. And so it's all confusing. But implied puppet master is this Emperor guy, and then it's Christopher Walken, who doesn't have an accent, you know, doesn't have a voice modulator.
Christopher Walken.
Doesn't really have any makeup on. And then his character, maybe this is how it was written in the books, but in the film, doesn't really have any distinguishing features.
No.
There's one scene where he suggests something and then his daughter suggests a different plan and he's like, fuck me,
you're
smart.
You're gonna be good, yeah.
She's brilliant. Because I would not have thought of that.
Well, that's so... The books... Yeah. He is kind of like...
He's like Joe Biden almost.
He is. He is very Joe Biden. I wouldn't bother focusing on him. And I think that's the point.
Yeah.
So the first book is... there's a diary entry before every chapter and it's by his daughter.
Sure.
So something's happening with her.
Okay.
I haven't read the second one yet. Yeah. But somebody's good at, like, he is, I think he's a placeholder for, spoiler, it's not, just skip ahead like 20 seconds. He's a placeholder for Timothy to come and take power, essentially.
Sure.
Now he's irrelevant and the princess is more important.
Sure.
It's weird. But, and I think it's weird to, I think, make, if...
But that's the throne they're all going
for. He should have made him less, I think he probably should have made him like almost less relevant in the film.
Yeah.
Because if you make a Christopher Walken, you're expecting something.
Yeah, but it's also the throne that everyone's after. And
well, they're not. Are they after it?
That's the seat of power that they're all secretly plotting for.
Well, not. Well, they weren't. They weren't really, because the Harkonnens weren't trying to overtake.
Yeah, he was.
Them
Big fat Baron was. He was trying to get his nephew on the throne.
Yeah, eventually, I guess.
That's
so.
Like the
but like
that's
the Atreides were.
It's a power game, and that's the most powerful seat. That's when you start
it's
the thing.
Offer,
it's like Game of Thrones. It's like all these things. It's warring families. There's one big power
but
guy in front.
No one's really looked to that properly. I guess the Harkonnens did,
and they didn't. And they play. And you normally have this when you have a trilogy. You play like two families against each other, but then you imply there has to be somewhere to go. There has to be somewhere bigger.
And that
place bigger was Crystal walking underneath like a blossom tree.
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, because once again, maybe this is just him being orthodox to the book, but maybe this is criticism of the book. I would have made the big emperor more mysterious, or like make the throne, make me want to sit on that. Just going, oh fucking hell, I can see why you'd want to sit on that throne.
As opposed
to this guy,
he just kind of
arrived on the planet. He literally arrived like Joe Biden. And he was like, oh fuck, we didn't really plan this.
He definitely didn't smash it. Yeah, it's one of those things that it's like because we don't meet him in the first film. And you don't meet him for so much of the book. And then you do. And it is a bit like underwhelming.
Oh.
Because you're like, is he? I think he's trying to make him not good or bad.
Yeah.
He's like, he's definitely bad, but he's not as bad as the Harkonnens. They're like awful, you know, bald-headed ogre people.
Yeah.
Whereas the Emperor is like kind of vague. But he's clearly plotting against him. But all he's worried about is the maintenance of power. Whereas, you know, the Harkonnens.
That's the only trait he got.
Yeah.
But then it didn't. He just said, oh, he'll do anything for power. And then he didn't really see anything else.
Yeah. And then the ending.
That was my
like
only. But I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And I think it's so hard to pull off a film like that. And I think That's the only criticism I had was I wouldn't cast Christopher Walken.
Yeah, I agree. He never sat well for me. And it's a weird,
just funny.
And it's a weird kind of character to cast anyway, really.
Nah.
Yeah. Because you don't want it to be overtly, you know, you want, particularly if it's a kind of sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah.
Set in, I don't know, what is it, like, I can't remember, like, what the
10,000 years in the future or something.
Yeah, maybe even longer. But you don't want to have
20,000
you know,
years.
Walken. You don't want to have Walken's accent as emperor, or this, like, kind of confusing distant space emperor that's going to exist. And he's like, got, where's Chris Walken even from? Is it New York?
You've got the Baron.
Has he got a New York accent?
Yeah, probably. It's like East Coast. Yeah. It's hard to even know. You got this fucking guy who's literal slug, who's got like a voice modulator. Everyone's and then Walken's,
well, he's still
Walken's he's, just rocked
he's
up
still
on
that
set.
Accent, isn't he? He's still got his own.
Barely any makeup,
accent.
Just a bit of foundation. Yeah. You're right, guys. I loved Javier Bardem made me laugh a lot in the film.
There was comedy. It was weird.
Which bits? Do you think there was purposeful?
There was 100%.
Oh, there was a couple.
There was probably about 4 or 5 jokes, and they were all Stilgar. It was mostly talking about, like, making jokes about religious fervor.
Yes.
There were bits that were the 100% bits.
It did make me laugh a lot just how he couldn't. Because as soon as he decided that Timothée Chalamet was the one, he just couldn't. But every time Timothy did anything, his mind was blown like 15 times.
Yeah,
yeah. He could not.
But those are the bits. Those are the bits.
Stop being like, I can't.
Those are the bits, because he kept being like, every little thing proved his point.
He just couldn't believe it.
That's the bits I was talking about. It was all him. He just genuinely, which was one of the most surprising things. It was like in the first half an hour. I remember laughing 3 times, which I never expected to do. But yeah, no, he was great. I thought he was fucking fantastic in it. They all kind of killed it. It's very good. It's an excellent film.
But you prefer the first one?
I think
a better experience watching it.
I had a better experience because it was weird going into it. Like having, it's weird because most people would have read the book and watched both films. Whereas I watched the first film, then read the book, then watched the second film.
Would you prefer?
So I knew everything that was going to happen, and that does take away something. Plus, they've missed like quite a few things because it would be impossible to get it into the film.
So would
they've
you rather
taken
they
characters
have, like,
out and stuff?
Videos of the pages that would turn.
Yeah, that's what I prefer. Yeah. No, I didn't have as good experience in the second one, which is the truth.
I wish it was more like the books.
Didn't say that once. No, I don't know. I wonder if I would have gone in cold. I mean, I love the books so much.
Was there something they missed that you would have added?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying for in terms of an experience, I preferred the first one because it was more. I wasn't like a fan of the book at that point, so I was like, you're just looking at the like amazingness of the film, and the second one it was like. The style's already there, and they were just like, it was mostly story based. You know the story, so like all the shocks, I wasn't, you know, it's hard to be shocked at. And it's an annoying thing to do in a way, because you're faithful to the text in some way. So you're
still
expecting one thing, you're expecting these things to happen, and when they don't, it's a bit annoying.
Yeah,
and then it's you know where it's going to, you know exactly what the ending is, so it's hard to have as good a time in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's weird, I've watched the first one without having read it and then watched the second one without reading it, basically.
Yeah. Right, well, that's all we've got done for this week. Come join us on the Patreon, and we will see you next week.
See you later.